Blog Talk Radio.
An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He tells the boy, "There's a fight that's going on inside me, and it's a terrible fight. You see, this fight is between two wolves. One wolf is evil. It is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf, this wolf is good. This wolf is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. Now this same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too." The grandson sat there and thought for a minute, looked up and asked his grandfather, "Well, which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "It's the wolf you feed."
Lord, it's so hard living this life, a constant struggle each and every day. Some wonder why I'd rather die than to continue living this way. Many are blind and cannot find the truth, 'cause no one seems to really know. But I won't accept that this is how it's gonna be. Therefore, you got to let me and my people go. 'Cause I wanna be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and save me? I wanna be free, totally free. I'm not gonna let this world worry me.
Wake up, goddammit!
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. It just depends on what part of the world you are listening. Bienvenidos, que tal, hola, welcome, namaste, oki, and once again, welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosts and duties every Monday, Wednesday, live, 7 p.m. Central Time, Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Holding down the other half of our hosts and duties. We call him the Lions Historian. Some call him Unc. I call him my best friend, my dad, Bill Green, or simply Daddy-O. I don't know if he's on the line there. Are you there, Daddy-O? Do we got you? Oh, not yet. We'll get him in shortly. We've been working on some new equipment. I heard something. I know you heard it too. I guess he's coming in soon. He is in the chat room, but unfortunately, we still don't copy that. So, once again, good evening and welcome. Happy Valentine's Day. Special episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. This month of February has been crazy because all these twos. So, you know, it's Valentine's Day on the show. And I'm always tripping on the number two. It's like my number, angel number, et cetera. But anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. So while Dad is still getting things ready on his end, just like to start things off with just a few reminders. Again, before we get things going, like we do at the beginning of every show, we just like to remind you, the listeners, to grab a pen and pad. Whether you're listening to the live show or even the recorded shows, and all shows are archived on your favorite podcasting platform. But before we start getting into subject matter, we always like to remind everyone to grab a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, a post-it note, a marker, I don't know, back of an envelope, a napkin, if you got it. Just something to write with, because there's a few reasons. One, we want to make sure that you don't forget anything. You may have some questions or a comment or comments. We want to make sure you don't forget. Sometimes Dad and I can get really caught up in our dialogue and conversation. We joke and we use the phrase, why use 100 words when 1,000 words would do? But we do get caught up in conversation and discussion. And it's not that we're ignoring you or anything. It's just, you know, we're just getting on with what we do. But we don't want you to forget your questions or your comments. We say all this because we do offer a way that you can engage with us. We'll get into that shortly. So, again, grab a pen and pad. So as I mentioned, the engagement piece, what we do is that we offer different ways for you to engage with us on our online shows. One way is to call in directly. I'm going to give you that number. Again, that you should have that pen and pad handy right now for the envelope and napkin. I don't know. Some of you may still have napkins from your Super Bowl party last night. Our number here is 516-453-6094. Again, area code 516-453-6094. And if you want to get in our queue, you want to jump in and give us a ask a question or leave a comment or a shout out or something like that, just press the 1 button on your keypad. That'll put your number in our queue. And again, we might be using 1,000 words, but eventually we will bring you in when you're in the queue. The chat room is also available on the Blog Talk Radio site, blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseFX. That's the letter FX. With your free Blog Talk Radio profile, you can engage with us through the chat room. And, of course, there's always Facebook. I can't wait to get these videos going, too, but that's a whole other story and another time. So, again, that's just some different ways that you can engage with us. I don't know, Dad, I'm still not catching you, Dad. Just jump on in when you can. Just jump on in. You don't have to wait on me to, I don't know if, you can just jump on in. So just letting you know. All right, so tonight we're going to be going over a few things. Dad mentioned, some of you may have seen the Facebook post, highlighted topics to cover tonight, the 761st Tank Battalion. Dad's mentioned this before. We talked a little bit about Patton's Panthers, the original Black Panthers. And so that would be exciting to hear more of what he has to talk about with the Tank Battalion. I think we may have to just take a quick break here, and I'm going to see if I can bring him in and see what's going on with his microphone. I'm hoping that you all can hear me, but I'm sure by now if you couldn't, somebody would have sent me a message. So give us just a minute here. We're going to check on our microphones. Hello? All right. All right, so yeah, just give us a minute here, and we'll be right back. This is the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. Welcome back. I heard Dad said double feedback. Probably got your volume up on your computer. So maybe mute your computer.
I muted it. Nope, I muted it. Alright. Hold on a second. Go ahead. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
How's that?
You tell us.
Are you hitting double feed?
No. That was just you.
Okay. I guess I must be all right.
All right. So we just had to do a live mic check. That's all right. Slight delay there.
I guess some things just aren't supposed to work right, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, what's up, Wilfredo?
What's happening? Glad to have you. Glad to hear you.
There it goes again.
Well, we don't hear anything over here. I don't hear anything.
Okay.
Maybe it's just...
And I won't worry about it.
Yeah,
we'll try to keep everything away from everything. Yeah, there's something going on.
All right, well...
Anyway, okay. Well, yeah, we don't want to have dead air, right? All right.
No.
So
right,
let me try
this again.
What's up, Wilfredo?
What's going on, man? Yeah, how you doing? Good to hear you.
Well, 10 minutes ago, I was doing great.
Well, we're here now, you know. We're here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the Super Bowl yesterday?
Yeah, I did. It was, you know, at first I thought I was leaning towards Cincinnati, and then I started leaning toward the Rams. And then I really didn't care. I just enjoyed the game. So, and it really didn't make me any difference. You know, it was to the victor goes the spoils is how it turned out, you know. And it was an interesting contrast, though, you know, in the different ways the teams got put together. And, you know, I can't believe that an outcast from the Detroit Lions actually won the Super Bowl. That's amazing to me. Matthew Stafford, the quarterback.
Right, you know, right.
Of all people. Yeah, I'm still having some sound trouble, man, so bear with me for just a second.
All right, that's kind of tough. Our dialogue, you know, our show depends on us talking together, so I'll come up with something on the fly here.
There you go.
Yeah, but I'm not prepared for that, man. I don't have nothing to, you know, to really bring up like that. Unless we bring Adam in. I'm not sure if he wants to talk right now.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yep, we hear you good.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, did she hear me cuss?
That doesn't matter right now.
It doesn't. All right. I'm still having sound problems here. I can't do anything else to figure it out. The show will be over before I figure it out. So I'll just go with what I got and come across okay. Okay, man. So I heard everything you were saying, and you did a great job. And I can tell you're trying to stretch it out as long as you could, trying to wait for me. I love it when you say napkin.
A napkin.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is so I don't know how I'm sounding, but there's nothing else I can do about it, right? So I apologize to you and everyone else if I sound scratchy or tinny or anything else like that.
No worries. So I couldn't, and I'm glad I want to, we were able to bring you back in because I mentioned the 761st, but in
right.
your highlight of tonight's show, and I wasn't familiar with how to pronounce Oscar's last name. I didn't know if it was
Michelot.
Okay. Like I said, I wasn't familiar. So is that like French or something?
Well, you know, I mean, that wouldn't be unusual. A lot of brothers got French names like Dubois.
Okay.
But we call it Dubois. So I guess, you know, I don't know how we would chop up Michelot. It's spelled M-I-C-H-E-A-U-X.
You know, I thought it'd be like Misha or something like that.
Yeah, well, it's Michelot. And I messed up the first name. What did I have the first name as?
Harold.
Yeah, well, it's Oscar. So it's not Harold Oscar Michelot. It's not Oscar Harold. It's Oscar. So, okay, that takes care of that. That's my mistake for the year.
Well, no, it's yeah, it's funny because when I typed in Harold Michelot, whatever you, I brought up this article about the documentary that's actually on HBO Max right now, and I think you'll talk about that.
Right.
But they also talked about this other documentary about Harold Washington. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Okay. So I got a little.
All right.
Little,
so can we move off of that now? You shot in the air and what? Killed a fish?
I think I just killed myself. Yeah, let's move on. Cool. Let's go.
Okay. Good. All right. So last week, last Wednesday, I think it was, we were kind of talking, not kind of, we were talking about the birth of a culture, birth of a race, right? The Negro, correct?
Right, the origin of the word.
Yeah, and one of the things that I didn't talk about that I wanted to, oh, did you mention about calling in to the host queue at any time and not wait for us to give the invitation?
Oh, please go ahead and mention it again. I think we have to do it numerous times now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Just as a reminder, y'all, if anybody wants to make a comment, tell me I'm a pain in the ass or that I need to learn restraint and proper etiquette. We're all game to hear all that. All you have to do is hit one on your keyboard, on your key. What is it? Keyboard? Is that what it is? Will?
Keypad, keyboard, whatever you call it.
Keypad, okay.
Whatever.
Hit one, and that'll show us that you're in the queue. You don't have to wait for us to invite you in, because as some have found, you'll be waiting all night. So, anyway, yeah, I know we're off to a bumpy start this evening. I apologize for that, and I don't want to use up any more time apologizing for my snafus, okay? My foos pot, is that what they call it? So, talking
okay.
about the Negro, go ahead, what?
I just said okay.
Well, okay. I'm having problems with my sound, so I'm getting double feed, so I'll probably be cross-talking you all night. And all I can do, once again, is apologize for that until the next time. So leading up to this whole issue of Negro, you know, had so much to do with the previous topics we had been talking about. We spent some time talking about Gil Scott-Heron and No Knock, and that was a wonderful thing you played last week, man. I don't know if you have it handy, but, you know, it was written and performed 50 years ago. And to hear the words as they, you know, resonate today, you know, it's quite phenomenal. So, and you gave statistics last week that at least 94 people have been killed in forced entry raids from 2010 to 2000, I think you said 16 or 14.
2008.
And at least it was at least 81 civilians and 13 law enforcement officers. And that's what we know. What we know is 8 out of 10 of these, 8 out of 10, meaning, you know, not 100%, but 80% of these raids have been used against Black Americans or people of color. And the commentary, I think, speaks to the heart of the issue. It says this is a problem, a violent problem, created by the police themselves. And I think that point is the point that gets lost in translation. You know, Black folks and all the others aren't raiding themselves. And I think the point we made last week was that when SWAT shows up, they don't show up to negotiate. You know, that and I just still am just shuddering at, not as much as I was last week. I mean, it's calmed down some, but I shudder at the thought of opening my eyes to the screams and hollers and see my room filled up with, you know, men in masks with guns pointed at me. That just kind of, you know, just that thought just freaks me up, and realize I only have 6 to 9 seconds to ask the Lord to forgive me before hopefully I come to meet him. You know, that's just a scary scenario to me that has no saving grace to it at all. You creep into my room. You get up in my face. 8 people screaming and hollering at me with masks on and guns pointed, and I got 6 to 9 seconds to figure out what the hell is going on. So, you know, my question is, okay, so we can go over the stats. We can go over the issues. We can, you know, we can hem and haw. We can poke holes in the sky. You know, or we can come to some kind of recognition that, you know, racism and oppression and the use of force and violence against black people and the underclasses by the government and police have been going on since slavery. So where does this leave me? And that's what brought me to that question, you know, just, you know, what does this origin of this word Negro come from? I mean, I've been in my 74, almost 75 years on this planet, I've been called colored, Negro, Black, Afro, and African-American, you know, and a few other colorful euphemisms thrown in for flavor, right? But the thing that gets me, there weren't Negroes that were brought from Africa and placed into a life of servitude and bondage. There weren't Negroes that were sent to the West Indies and cultivated and groomed to be shipped to America to begin the life of servitude. You know, it wasn't Negroes that jumped off the ships, the slave ships, rather than live a life of bondage. They were Africans. And in many cases, Africans of heritage, Africans of standard, of standing in the community. You know, so names we'll never know, of course, the names that the offspring are called now, you know, very rarely, if ever, have a tinge of Afrocentricity attached to it. We've kind of created our own language around names these days, but I'm not going to get into that. You know, but the bottom line is, you know, they're not one names that we go by, you know, and they're definitely not reflective of any tribal orientation. Instead, you know, this Negro race, I guess, was born from slavery born from Africans, well, born from Africans, born from slavery, and born from a conditioning of servitude, and given the names of their white oppressors, and Negro, I guess, is homegrown. I guess this is like the foundation of that so-called, you know, new race that had many different interpretations of it through other languages and other cultures and other races. You know, I think we talked a little last time about Negro means black in both Spanish and Portuguese. You know, it's derived from the Latin word niger, which, you know, has the same meaning. You know, from the 18th century to the 20th century, Negro, you know, which was later capitalized for some, still, you know, small case for others, was done in the mid-20th century. You know, and now, of course, for the most part, we use African American, you know, as Negro fell out of flavor in the 60s. So through all that transitioning, I just think it's kind of interesting to look at two particular articles that I used as some form of research: The Origin of the Negro Race, written by Sir Henry Stanley, and Creation of the Negro Race, extracts from the name Negro, Its Origin and Evil Use, by Richard Moore. Wow. So I talked about Richard Moore last week. I just wanted real quick to go through the highlights of Sir Henry's article, if that's okay. Is that cool, Will?
Okay.
Okay. And he wrote, the indefinite extension of time, which we must allow to cover the numberless migrations of families, tribes, and sub-tribes from Asia to Africa, the natural overlapping of one by the other, which must necessarily have occurred, and the subsequent and the consequent, mixture of types from this and countless other causes make it impossible to unravel, the tangle of humanity that was found in Egypt, the threshold of the dark continent in the earliest stages. At the onset, before starting my theory as to the origin of Negro race, I confess my agreement with those savants who give an Asiatic origin to man, because the very earliest records prove the influence of Asia on Africa, while there seems to be nothing to exhibit African influence on Asia. So that's his theory. Africans evolved from Asian influence, as invaders, as cultivators of the land, I'm not sure. But his premise is that Asia is the foundation of humankind. And Africa, you know, is the result of that. So this theme, though, this issue, this question, this concern still bounces back and forth, even with the essence of the name of the continent, Africa. It's like the name of this continent, North America. You know, that wasn't the name of the indigenous people. You know, that was a name given to this lost sailor, given by this lost sailor, you know, who thought it was, you know, America as being what it wasn't, but called it that nevertheless. And, of course, so then comes the origin of the Native American. But, you know, I imagine time has finally convinced the various indigenous tribes of this country that, you know, Native American would be an accepted term, like African American is the accepted term in our culture. So, you know, Africa, you know, the original ancient name of Africa was Al-Kibulan. And you said Kemet, too, last week, right, Will?
Yeah, but that's like Egypt, where Egypt is. That would be Kemet.
Okay,
Al-Kibulan. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Al-Kibulan. Alkebulan, sorry, A-L-K-E-B-U-L-A-N. I put little hyphens in between the syllables so I wouldn't keep tripping.
I do too, so I can, pronounce it.
And I did anyway. Alkebulan, you know, and the name translates to Mother of Mankind or the Garden of Eden. Alkebulan is an extremely old world. And it's, and when they say extremely old, that means it really old.
Yeah.
And its origins are indigenous. So indigenous meaning, you know, this word used and the way it was used by the original inhabitants of this continent we call Africa. Many nations in Africa use this word, including the Ethiopians, Nubians, Moors, and Numidians. Supposedly, the name Africa was given to this continent by the ancient Romans and Greeks. Also, supposedly, the first human ancestors came from Europe, not Africa, 7.2 million years ago. Now, that's the latest information that came out, I think, in 2017, that a skull was found, and then, you know, science did its magic, and the skull found in Europe was decided 7.2 million years ago, meaning the origin of man came from Europe. But yet, when an artist's impression of this particular skull and the way it was described came out looking just like an ape. So maybe apes roamed Europe 7.2 million years ago. I don't know. But, you know, there's some things that science do that my mind can't even begin to wrap itself around. I would imagine, though, that 7.2 million years ago, the Earth probably looked very different as a land mass than it does today. But again, what do I know, right? So where does all this leave me? I don't know. Rome was founded in 753 B.C. Greece in 12th century B.C., 1200. Egypt, 3100 B.C. The pyramids of Egypt, 2500 B.C. The largest, which took anywhere from 17 to 20 years to build. Mayan pyramids are as old as 1000 BC. So, you know, the other part of what science says is that Asia, Europe, and Africa, when the great land masses of Africa and India collided with Europe and Asia about 100 million years ago, created much of the foundations of the land masses as we know them today. So, still, what's up with this word Negro? And why was it necessary to create a whole race out of a race that already existed? I haven't heard any arguments about it. I haven't heard any discussions about it on the news. So I'm as much in the dark on as most regular folks like me, you know, just what this word Negro, other than it being a term of servitude, other than what purpose it really served. I mean, it's been confusing enough for me, and I guess maybe not so much for the generations behind you, Will, because they pretty much only know African American. And maybe future generations will even drop the African part, and maybe we'll be able to just be known as Americans, and if as nothing else, Americans of color. But maybe that's what America will wind up being anyway, you know, as a land of color. But I sure would like to be thought of as an American in as it relates to, you know, civil rights, you know, as it relates to the benefits of the country, as it relates to political balance, and as it relates to all the other social issues of the time. I would rather be thought of as an American than a minority, you know, and I think that word right there, minority, is what keeps one race separate and apart and maybe even feeling somewhat superior to the other race. There is nothing equal about a word minority. So that's my speech for tonight about and bringing closure to, you know, the theme of Negro. Matter of fact, I kind of would rather just go ahead and end it rather than stretch it out, because all it's doing is pissing me off. I didn't expect it to. But doggone it, it is. So yeah. What do you think? We'll pray though. Where are we, man?
I through some continued research I was doing, I found the word Negro to have been used probably I got as early as the 1500s, like 1550s. But just it was still used as a description for black skin race of Africa, mostly used by Spanish and Portuguese, which is they still use Negro for black.
There were right, yeah,
right. Describing a person probably be more like Negrito, but that's what it's just been used, and it's just. But anyway, I'm just saying, just as far as why it was used, just as a description.
But it's their language. See, this is my point. It's their language. So, it's like I use white because white resonates with my language. I use black because black resonates with my language. But the word Negro has Latin, Portuguese, and Spanish, Italian, and many other countries, roots in their language. It's a word that already existed. It didn't come into existence because of the foundation and the creation of the Negro race. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I chuckled a minute when you were talking about this skull that was found in Europe. Now the Negro, that term has been used, and now it's African American. It's not actually Africa, and we know that the continent of Africa, like you said, I bet things look different. Africa is huge, and they say, I've never been in space, so I don't know for sure, but they say that actually on the map is not correct with how big the continent of Africa even looks. So I'm not hearing all this information and history about, where our people came from, and, we go from being described not by our own language, but by their language. The land of Africa is not really the original word. What is it again? Can you pronounce that again for me? What is it?
Let me grab my script because I had put it away.
And it's spelled. While Dad's looking for it, it's spelled for those that's listening.
Alkebulan.
There you go.
Alkebulan.
So, so they got all this stuff, and now they're saying that the origin of civilization didn't even occur in Africa, or Alkebulan. It's just like,
No, Alkebulan was the word, the name, the word used by Africans or those indigenous to the country. Alkebulan was the ancient word used by the indigenous people of the continent Africa that is older than anything else known. And it translates roughly to mother of mankind or Garden of Eden. But that's a African term, not a European or Asian term. And it was a word used by, the ancient indigenous peoples of Ethiopia, the Ethiopians, the Nubians, the Moors, and the Numidians. So this is, this is the people given history about their origin of themselves as they know it to be, not about what the languages of the cultures that came after the so-called Africans decided what the nature and the structure and the element of age of the world was. It's a saying, right? If you don't know who you are, anyone can name you. That's an African proverb. And it fits right in with, until lions have historians, hunters will always be heroes. So it's what was inscribed on all of the universities in the continent that we call Africa today that dominated the cultural foundation of the world later. And on every university outside, inscribed at the doorway, the entry port of the university, it said simply, know thyself. And herein lies the rub for most Americans of African descent. We're still having others tell our history for us. you know, and I don't know, you know, how much of science is Afrocentric. I don't know how much of science is Eurocentric when these studies are done. I don't know, you know, where the balance is. I don't even know if there's an agreement about it, you know, but we get funny things that translate and trickles down, you know, and this book by G.W.W. Got his last name. Wow, that's amazing. But anyway, he said his book, not what he said, his book was titled Stolen Legacy, you know, and sometimes it's hard, and I get it. Sometimes it's just hard for a people who don't know themselves to be okay with the things they read when they haven't ever heard anything about it. It's like, okay, so where did this brother come up with this? Was it G.W.W. James? Yeah, G.G.M. I'm sorry, G.G.M. James, Stolen Legacy, written back in 1989. You know, and it's like, since reading is not fundamental to the understanding of African Americans, we tend to only accept what we hear or what we're entertained by. And it's a consequence of, you know, whatever, you know, you don't know who you are, anyone can name you. And that tends to be our reaction to the time, you know, more based on popularity or a popularity of immediacy than, you know, a depth of identity. And that, you know, I find has been rather disturbing to me. But sorry, man, I kind of chopped into you.
No, I was just, my point was very similar to what you were saying, just as if you don't know, you know, they, people can tell you whatever they want to tell you, you know.
Right.
And if you don't take the time to research and to look at these things and connect the dots, you know, and just looking up again this origin of Negro, looking up the origin of the name Africa, it's amazing. It just seems like there's this incredible effort to just annihilate our history, you know, just to slowly erase the things that are true with, you know, whatever they want to put in there. And I'm just tripping on this whole thing. You're talking about this skull being found in Europe. I'm just amazed, you know, from the origin of civilization to the creation of mathematics and science, you know. But anyway, that just comes with the research and just part of us doing the show and the information that we find. You know, it's a gift and a curse, I guess. You know, it's a gift to have the true knowledge, you know, but it's like, what do we do with it? So at least we have these moments of doing these shows and sharing this information with our audience. So that was,
yeah,
that's all I was saying. That's all.
Yeah.
That was
and dealing with the feelings that come up, you know, I don't know any other.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really sorry. I'm having these problems with my.
Well, you know what? Let's try to. We have a caller in the queue here. I don't know if you can see the. Do you have access to the studio?
Yeah.
You want to bring a caller in?
Absolutely.
Area code 469. Area code 469-834. 469-834. Good evening. Thanks for calling in. How you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing great. You know, I'm riding and sliding and listening to y'all, you know, right in the vibe.
Okay, I like that. I hear that. A little freestyle while you're driving and gliding at the same time. Okay. What's
yes,
going
sir.
On,
so,
man? Good to hear you.
It's Jay Pastor. What's up,
Hey, man, I just I just got the tail end. I'm still fooling around, having a lot of technical issues over here. So I had got knocked off for a second, so I just caught you there at the end, and I recognized the voice right away.
Yeah, so what's up, Jay Pastor?
Man, I pushed into the queue because, I don't know, some of you said I wanted to, I guess, kind of share my little common sense insight on it to where I've never really kind of applied myself and, you know, probably studied or cared about even, you know, the bigger picture when it comes to our race. But I heard you say that the author of the book was kind of saying that Africa, maybe I misunderstood it, but it was sounding like he was trying to say that we derived out of the Asian culture.
Yeah, this was written by Sir Henry M. Stanley in 1900, you know, and it wasn't really a book. It was just 10 pages of an article of a presentation called the North American Review, you know. So that was, you know, his theory over 100 years ago, you know.
Okay.
And go ahead.
So like I was saying, I never really indulged in the matter itself. One time, you know,
right,
somebody said something to me and it made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
My friend was telling me how that, you know, you can get every other color out of black.
Right.
But you can't get black out of, you know, these other colors though. So, you know, it made a whole lot of common sense to me that, you know, it would seem like to me, like, you know, that every, you know, and he was just using like regular crayon colors is what he was telling me, you know, but he was kind of relating it to us as a culture as well, and that just kind of, you know, light bulb went off in my head, like, yeah, that do make good sense. So that's why I chimed in the queue, because I don't necessarily agree, and I ain't, you know, I don't be trying to be on, you know, racist time or nothing. I do ride for my people, but it just made common sense to me, like,
no,
I don't think you could have got the
black
man out of the Asian man. I don't think that could have happened. Just
in
common sense.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that, JP.
Yeah.
I'm
let
you know. I'm with you on that, man.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know, it's the scheme of color. It's not even, you know, it's not like a hidden secret. All colors come out of, you know, out of the base color black. You know, I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of brains to figure that out. You know, white is not a base color. You know, you don't,
yeah,
you know, so, but this ain't about race when we're talking about color. You know, what we're talking about is people able to write history in any way they want to write it, and if there's nobody else writing a counterpoint, then that just becomes,
yeah,
you know, pretty much the way that, you know, the history of the world has always reconstructed itself. You know, I mean, like, look, here in America, for all my life and all the life of those who came before me that I know of, we've always been 12% of the total population. It hasn't gone up. It hasn't gone down. It stayed at 12%, while every other culture, even those indigenous to this country, that everything was done to destroy them, even their percentages have grown. So, you know, it's just a conflict of existence. And then to deal with the reality that people of color dominate the total populations of the world. So America's the issue. And there's no country in the world more colorphobic than America, you know, and that comes from its origin. And yeah, this country's not but a few hundred years old as we know it, but right from its inception, this issue has always been there, even with the development of government through the written parchment that recognized people of color, black people in particular, as being three-fifths of a whole person. So, you know, this has always been a thing. And, you know, like whether it be the spectrum of color, whether it be, you know, an idiot article written 120 years ago, you know, or whether it be, you know, a reality of time that suggests a country that fought in two wars, you know, to defeat white supremacy, now is inhabited by white supremacists that are backed by our government. Run, tell that. Run, tell that.
Yes,
so,
sir. Yes,
you know,
sir. Man,
this is a black and white issue. And I don't care how people dress it up. I don't care what people call it. I don't care how it's diffused, how it's painted over. I don't care if somebody says get in good trouble by any means necessary. The reality of American society is that this is a war of color, and it has been since its inception. You know, America declared war on those indigenous to this country, and it was a war that was fought for over 300 years, and it's declared war on black people who just got tired of being slaves and just wanted what America had, this thing they called freedom. And why shouldn't the people brought here to toil the land, why shouldn't they be the first ones to be free? You know, so I don't know, man.
Right on. Right on.
Yes, sir. That was all I had, man. I just wanted to make sure that I was kind of hearing that right, and I wanted to kind of get my two cents
right on
the matter.
Amen.
Right.
Greatly appreciate it, man.
Yeah, greatly appreciate it. You couldn't use a pen and a pad, so he called in, ladies and gentlemen. See, you know, so appreciate it, man.
Hold on a second. Yeah, hold on a second there, Jay Pastor. I think we got somebody else in the queue. You want to bring him in, Will?
Area code 214-714.
Yeah.
214-714.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I didn't have a pen in the pad, so I called in. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. Dang all right.
I'm just saying.
Powerful cousin. Powerful uncle.
Yes,
powerful.
Amen.
Powerful,
yes,
my dude.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry. Bill's like, run, tell that. I mean, wow, man. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, run, tell that.
You can say uncle. I call you nephew.
That's in our intro. Some people call them up. You know, it's all good.
Yes, sir. Yeah, all the way.
Amen.
How profound is that, man? That always. It's a running joke inside of me when I'm checking out census takers and et cetera. Like, man, y'all, like black folk, we just don't move the needle no matter how you know.
Man,
no matter how we, you know, how much we, you know, reproduce or what have you,
y'all, look,
we know it. Listen, man, we had an Olympic speed skater from Florida, a sister win gold.
Yeah.
Like, come on, I'm saying, it's inevitable. Like, I'm saying, the science is inevitable. I don't know what the numbers are doing. But the science is inevitable. You know, it's gonna. You know, the what do you call it? The melatonin phases out. By its nature, it phases out. That's not a threat. Whatever you want to make it. It's the principles of science.
Yeah, man.
How is this still tougher?
Yeah, how? Somebody just help me understand. You know, I remember arguing with another nephew of mine, you know, whose name will remain, you know, anonymous, who works at a university on the East Coast. Whose name will remain anonymous. You know, and he may not even remember the argument, and he may have changed his stance. But at the time, I was telling him I did not trust the census. And he said, come on, Uncle, how can you not trust the census? It's the U.S. Census. It's what they've been doing. And I said, I don't trust it because we haven't, as you just put it, Ray, we haven't moved the needle. Something's up with that. I just don't understand how that could be possible. Not the way we procreate. I mean, you know, and that's not a slam on the people, you know, but it's a reality of the time, you know, and it's birthed from slavery. That's what we were bred to do. You know, we were bred to create a profit for the plantation owner. So how could, you know, we used to, in four of the southern states, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, we were the dominant population of the whole state, you know, and we migrated north. We left that which was detrimental to our health. And you mean we didn't become plentiful and multiply?
I think it's a conspiracy. They say that every time that needle move over 12%, we're gonna turn up the abortion rate. We're gonna, you know what I'm saying, we're gonna turn loose, we're gonna turn up the conviction rate. You know, we're gonna do everything possible to keep this 12% stuck right here. Whenever they think they wanna multiply something, we're gonna put a loophole in the game.
But even convicts are counted, you know. So like murder rate, you know, wars,
it goes
you know,
up. Yeah.
All,
yeah.
You know. Anyway, I'm tripping. I know it. So I apologize, y'all. I didn't completely gone off the rail tonight. I apologize.
That's something
what you intended, was it, Will?
but that's something to explore, though. If
yeah.
okay. If the percentage of blacks remains sort of constant or, you know, similar, if the percentage of them remains similar, but crime rate, incarceration rate, blah, 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 all that good stuff, if that increases, where are they coming from? How is that increasing? And the percentage of, you know, felons or whatever in our race isn't increasing or decreasing.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, some ain't adding up. Just on some just sheer number,
something
just
ain't.
Sheer number perspective.
Yeah,
that's one small
amen.
Example. Yeah, but like,
amen.
we on some, we out there. You know, we spitballing, but hey, this the show, man. Like, I think.
Well, but here's my argument. Here's my argument. This is why I would rather be thought of as American. You know, because then I blend into the census. You know, I'm counted as an American. And being counted as American eliminates that whole colorphobic attitude that comes in the census with those questionnaires. You know, before I'm anything else, I'm American. You know, and now let's chop that up. You know, and then as me being an American, suddenly I don't have to compete with other minority contracts. Certainly, I don't have to compete with minority census of political control with how the different districts are laid out. You know, if I'm American, then you don't see graphics drawn that shows where black people live in certain counties or certain states. You know, you just see it all blended as American. Now you just campaign toward the whole state because you don't get to find out where little pockets dwell. You know, this is my argument right here. If this be a democratic society where all people are created equal, let's treat all people equally. Yeah. So anyway,
I see where you're going. Why you would want to argue that, Uncle? I see where you're at.
Amen.
Yeah. That's an argument to explore. Period. Point. Yeah. That's what's up. Something to explore.
Yeah.
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 What are the socio-economic,
socio
and psychological and economic, whatever comes all out of all that, let's, you know, that argument is, I wouldn't mind exploring more of that.
Amen.
Cons, all that.
Amen.
Stuff. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, you say we just spitballing now anyway, so what the hell, right? You know, I mean, I don't even remember what we was
supposed to talk about, but I sure do like the way it went. Sorry, Will.
Well, we got you. Got there. Got there on something.
Driving my poor executive producer crazy.
Yeah, yep.
He's having to throughout the whole trip. He said,
and
what
we
the hell?
Having a guess.
I'm just taking notes. I'm just taking notes. I'm just using my pen and pad and taking notes.
And a napkin.
Using the pen and pad.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you got leftover napkins from the Super Bowl party.
Yeah, napkins. That's over from the Super Bowl party. Well, man,
right
I sure appreciate
there,
you, brother,
right
calling
there,
in, man. Yeah. What was that? I don't think he heard you.
No, I was saying he using the napkins left over as the scratch paper. You take it note.
Right.
Absolutely. You got to use what you got to get what you want.
Yes, sir.
By any means necessary.
Exactly. By any means necessary. Yeah. All right. Well, we gone over the magic hour. So, you know, y'all, I really appreciate you calling in, man. It's always a live broadcast when y'all do that. I mean, not to say it isn't anyway, but you had a lot of flavor to the conversation, and I really appreciate it.
Yep. Same here.
Yes, sir.
Same here.
Yes, sir, man. We appreciate y'all, man.
Go.
All the way.
All righty. So,
all right, Jim.
Will, I think it's about time to land that airplane, you know?
Yep. JP, thanks for calling in. Primo, it's always good to hear both of y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show, where we try to provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experience, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. Daddy-O, appreciate what you had to bring tonight. Look forward to hearing more about the 761st. And Harold, Harold, you got me saying Harold now.
Oscar, Michelo, I also snuck one other caller in that may not even know his mic has just been opened. But he's been sitting there patiently since the start of the show.
How
you guys doing
tonight? Primo. We got both printed.
There he is. Go ahead, man. Say that again.
How you guys doing tonight?
All right. That sounds like Sir Adam.
Yes, sir.
Got all my dudes on tonight. All right. I can live with that.
80 a.m. How
you
guys doing?
Hey, man, you can't tell.
Another great show.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to acknowledge you being out there, man, because you just sat patiently, and I didn't want you to feel you weren't included in the party, man.
Oh, no, not at all. I just love listening to you guys.
Yeah. All righty, man. Well, like I said, I just wanted to bring you in. All right, Will, sorry about that, man. I cut into your lead again.
Well, everybody else that didn't call in, see, you missed out on the party, so you got to call in on Wednesday. Or hit us up in the chat room. Hey, Sue, I see you in the chat room, by the way.
Hey, man.
She just got back from
I'm
Mexico.
Yeah, I'm going to holler out to Sue, too. Right on.
Yeah.
Stuck with us the whole time. Right on, Sue.
Yeah.
She's like,
why did I come back to the States? I'm sure she's asking. I should have stayed in Mexico. All right.
All right,
man.
Y'all.
Let's get up out of here. We let everybody enjoy their Valentine's Day and have a good night. We'll hear everybody or see you. Well, we won't see you, but we hope to hear everybody Wednesday, same time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, here on blogtalkradio.com/TheGreenhouseFX. Until then, be safe, be blessed, and be yourself, because as Dad used to say, everybody else is taken. So keep your mask on, damn it. Keep your mask on. All right. Anything else, Dad, before we go?
No, man.
All right. Yeah, we only got like 15 minutes left, so we'll save it for Wednesday. All right.
Yeah, you be,
everybody,
you'd be better off muting me. Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody else have a good night. We'll talk to you all Wednesday.
Amen.
Feeling this way, should be crying, my heart just wanna say, if you stay to be happy, as I lie here on the rooftop in the rain.